This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's my joy to welcome all of you to this place on this beautiful Sunday morning for worship. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us. Just a little secret, this is only my second Sunday, so I'm still learning my way around too. So I hope that all of you who are members are wearing your name tags, and hope all of us will take an opportunity to greet the folks sitting around us so everyone feels welcome this morning, as I have felt so welcomed in the past couple of weeks. I think you have in your bulletins an insert with lots of announcements in it about ministries and things going on in the life of the church. I just want to highlight a couple of those things. A reminder that the adult summer Sunday school class is continuing on through the beginning of August, and it meets downstairs in McWhorter Hall. If you missed it this Sunday but want to give it a try next week, they'll be gathering next week, and it's a wonderful class. And also just a reminder for those of you who are members and that it's time to get your picture taken for a new pictorial directory, and you can go on the website. All the information is there in the announcements about where you can go. I signed my family up a couple of days ago, so it's not that hard. I actually was able to do it, so hopefully you'll do that as well. This morning, our gospel reading allows us to hear Jesus' invitation to come to him and find rest. So as we head into this hour of worship together, I would invite you to take a few moments to center yourself, to set aside any worries you might have about tomorrow or concerns about yesterday, and let us all do all that we can to be fully present and rest in the love of God as we gather for worship this morning.
Welcome this day to a time of rest. Trust in God, who is always with you. Place your lives in the loving hands of God. Please be seated. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Therefore, let us turn to Christ and confess our sins together, that we may find rest for our souls. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that too often we do not come to you with our burdens. We put our time and energy into plans and schedules, but do not take time to be still and know that you are God. We become preoccupied with our own fears and anxieties and overlook your invitation to find comfort in community. We seek control rather than trust, overwork rather than rest, and we live in a spirit of scarcity rather than abundance, generosity, and joy. Forgive us, loving God. Help us to place our hope in you. Open our hearts and spirits again to your healing powers, that you might give us rest. Hear the good news, dear friends. Healing and rest are available through God's great love for us in Christ. The invitation is extended to all. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Brian Thomason Freeman Sr. and Catherine Davis Freeman bring their son, Brian Thomason Freeman Jr., to God before this community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Katie and Brian, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Brian Thomason, who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory.
What name is given this child? Brian Thomason. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brian Thomason, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Brian Thomason, you're actually called Thomas. I want to introduce you to your new family in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is your new brother. This is Thomas. Thomas, these are the folks who are going to pray for you and care for you and your parents. They're going to be Sunday school teachers and friends in faith and mentors to you so that someday you can affirm these commitments that your parents just made.
Will the congregation please stand and face this child? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Brian Thomason to your loving care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Brian Thomason, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And now a lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
the adults are being seated, I want to invite any children of any age, to come forward. And if you want to bring a parent or a friend or grandparent, that's great. We'll gather up here for just a moment. Wow, I'm so glad to see all of you guys coming down. And as you're making your way down, I just want to say how excited I am to be part of your church family. As you may know, this is only my second week here, so I'm brand new, and I'm learning names and learning all about you. So I want to ask you a big favor. Every time you see me for the next little while, maybe for the summer, tell me your name. Every time I see you, come up and say, "Hi, Carol," or "Hi, Miss Carol," or "Pastor Carol," or whatever your parents want you to call me, and tell me your name, and that will help me. That's up to them. I'm happy with anything. Well, you may have heard a couple of minutes ago some words that Miss Erin read that Jesus said. He said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, I'm guessing that some of you, maybe not all of you, but I bet some of you are in school or you go somewhere sometimes, or maybe your parents tell you at some point during the day, maybe after lunch, it's time for a nap. Some of you still get a nap? I do sometimes too. Well, they'll say, "Lights out, time to nap." And if you don't sleep, it's just good to rest. Or maybe you're in school and there's a certain time of day when the teacher says, "Okay, everybody, it's time to go outside and play." Well, both of those things, rest and play, are things that God wants us to do. And you know, the truth is, those of us who are grown-ups don't always remember that. It's good for us, too, to take a break and sit down and rest. It's good for us to go outside and play sometimes. So what I want you to do for all the grown-ups in your life is sometimes to say to them, maybe it's time for you to rest. Or maybe it's time to go outside and play, and I bet they'll thank you for it, because that's what God wants us to do. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you've always wanted to give us the gift of rest, and we thank you for that. Thank you so much for these beautiful children and the way that they can lead us and set a good example for us. Please allow them to teach us to rest and to play, and to enjoy your good creation. We thank you so much, and we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can go back and join your parents or grandparents or friends you came with. Back in 2013, I had an opportunity to rest and play for a while. I took a sabbatical. I had the privilege of taking a sabbatical. A lot of you in the jobs that you do don't have an opportunity to take a sabbatical, but it's actually part of our clergy covenant in the United Methodist Church that after a certain number of full-time years in ministry, a pastor is eligible to take a sabbatical. So I felt like it was a good time for me to do that, to get a little rest. And I had a colleague of mine in the conference who told me that the Lilly Foundation will actually provide grants for pastors who want to take a sabbatical to allow them to travel a little bit or do some things that they might not be able to afford otherwise, to provide for the church to cover their responsibilities while they're gone. So I did that. I applied for a grant and I got it. I had to design sort of a proposal of what I wanted to do. And these funds from the Lilly Foundation allowed me to go to the island of Iona off of Scotland for 10 days and spend time at the monastery. It was a beautiful, quiet place. It allowed my family and me to go to Yosemite together. Of course, if you remember October of 2013, that's when the government decided to shut down. So we couldn't actually get out of our car, but we could drive through the park and enjoy the... We're going to go back one of these days. It was still a wonderful trip. But in preparation for that sabbatical, I started working with a spiritual director. I still go to see him once a month, and I started seeing him a few months before my sabbatical started. His name is Ben Curtis. He's a professor of religion at Belmont University. And as the sabbatical got closer, I started to share with him some of my anxiety about my sabbatical. Isn't that odd? But I was feeling worried that somehow I was going to squander this time. There was something I was supposed to accomplish or achieve during this sabbatical, and I was so afraid I wasn't going to do it. I was going to do it wrong somehow. And as I shared all that with him, he looked at me and said, "Carol, what if what you really need is rest?" Oh. And I could feel the emotion welling up and even tears coming to my eyes. Because for the first time in a long time, someone was giving me permission to rest. Someone was inviting me to set aside my work and my responsibilities and just be with God. So one of my questions for you this morning is, when was the last time you really rested? Maybe it was yesterday, Saturday. Maybe some of you have been on a vacation recently and you were really able to set aside all your other responsibilities and just rest. But my guess is you have the same challenge I do. And even on vacation, even on Saturdays, even when it's a day off, you find it hard to rest. And it's been a long time since you did. Well, I want us all this morning to hear these words of Jesus as an invitation to each and every one of us. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This is an invitation that God has been issuing to God's people from the very beginning. Way back in the first chapter of Genesis, we have this wonderful, powerful poem or parable about how the world was created in 6 days, and God created the moon and the stars and the plants and the animals and humankind, and working hard and creating for 6 days. And you know, the story could have ended there. The world was created, yay. But the story doesn't end there. There's a seventh day. And on that day, God rested. God sat back and enjoyed the very good creation that God had just finished. And God consecrated that day. And so it's clear in the creation story that rest is not just a gift, it's a given. It is part of the very fabric of creation that we are meant to work and to rest, to work and to set down our work, to do and to be. It gets even stronger in the book of Exodus. God has called out the people of Israel and gives to them the law and is shaping them and their way of life so that how they live will be a sign to all the nations of who God is. And God gives them those 10 commandments that we know, right? We know the 10 commandments. And number 4, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, but on the 7th day you shall rest. It's a commandment. You shall rest. So if it's a commandment of God, if even God rested on the 7th day, why don't we? Why is it so hard for you and me? And I say me, and this is something y'all need to know right off the bat. When I'm preaching first and foremost to myself. I am sharing with you how the scriptures of the week have convicted me. And so I'm not good at this either. Why is it that we resist this invitation to rest? Well, it's a huge question. And I want to dig into it much more deeply in the fall. We've been talking about Wednesday night programming and what we're going to do. And I'm going to teach a 6-week Bible study starting on August something, 30th, about Sabbath. 6 weeks of Sabbath. And we're going to have conversation together about this invitation and commandment of God and how we live that out in our world today. Because the way things are right now, it's really hard for us to take a day of Sabbath. But how can we practice resting and stopping and pausing and praying and breathing? So I want to plant that seed now, if you're available to come on Wednesday nights to join me in that conversation. But this morning, we're just able to scratch the surface a little bit, to begin to explore that question of why it's so hard for us. And to get into that, I want to tell you a little story. Both of my kids went to Glendale Elementary School, a wonderful school that's a partial Spanish immersion curriculum. So the kids from kindergarten are learning Spanish as they're learning math and science. And when my son was in kindergarten, he had a group of friends that loved to go to the playground after school. And so a group of us parents would stand around the playground and talk while they played. And I was talking with one of the moms one afternoon, and she was going on and on about how excited she was that her son was learning Spanish. And she said, "But you know, I'm worried a little bit because I want him to learn other languages too. I mean, by the time he gets to middle school, I want him to have more experience with language. And so I'm thinking of getting a French tutor." And I thought, I just want Tate to learn how to tie his shoes right now. But I identified with that. He's learned, by the way, to do that. But I identify with that pressure to make sure your child is succeeding and to make sure they've done all these activities and they have a good resume so that they can get into a good college, right? That's the pressure that's put on us parents and put on students to do all of these things so that some committee in a university somewhere can decide that your child is worthy of entrance into their university. And it's not just students and it's not just parents, it's all of us. We live in an achieving culture, a striving culture. It's the water that we drink every day. You have to do and do and succeed and achieve. You are what you do. And so we get those emails at 4 o'clock in the morning from our boss, and we got to answer that email because, or if we go on vacation and we don't answer our emails, if we don't keep up with everybody, then we're going to lose and we are less worthy. I think you know what I'm talking about. We all live and breathe in this culture of achievement. And yet this morning we hear Jesus Christ saying to us, "Come to me, all who labor and are carrying heavy burdens. Take my yoke upon you." Don't take on the yoke of the culture that will wear you down and beat you down into the ground, trying to get you to achieve and do more and more, and it will never be satisfied. Take my yoke upon you. Let me tell you who you are. That you are not what you do. You are a beloved child of God, not because of what you achieve, not because of your successes, but because you are my creation and I love you. It's not easy to take that yoke because it goes against what we deal with each and every day. Walter Brueggemann has a wonderful book on Sabbath, a very small book, easy to read, and I love the title. It's called Sabbath as Resistance. If we are able, in some way in our daily living, to incorporate these practices of Sabbath, we are putting our lives in Christ's hands and saying, you know, I can stop, I can rest, and God has got me. So what are some of those ways that we can to Sabbath in our daily living, where we can show to the world around us that our worth and our identity is not in what we do or what we achieve, but in Christ and Christ alone? We're going to talk about some of that on Wednesday nights. Might start with finding a few hours, maybe a Saturday morning up until noon, where you turn your phone off, not just on vibrate, all the way off. It's hard. I find that really hard to do. Or setting a day of the week, if it's a day off, where we really don't check email. That's hard too. Or finding some time to sit down at the table with friends or loved ones or maybe a new friend, a stranger, and eat and take your time and have conversation. Or finding ways to go out in God's creation and play. I really do think our children can help us do that. But if we can incorporate the practice of the Sabbath, I really think it can save our lives. So I'd like to begin this morning with just a moment of silence, just a taste of resting in God's presence. That image we heard from the psalm of like a child, a weaned child in his mother's arms, striving for nothing, just resting in God's love. Will you join me in a moment of silence? Our gracious Lord, help us to place your yoke upon us, to receive it once again, reminding us whose we are, and calling us to live life to a different rhythm. Help us to make space and room for you and you alone, and all the burdens and responsibilities and weariness that we carry, you will take upon yourself and give us life. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you're able and join with me in affirming our faith in this God who claims us and gives us life. Our creed is found on page 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as those who have been claimed by God, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Seated. Welcome to all of you who gather with us today in worship. We're so glad you're here. And if you're a visitor, we especially want to extend a special welcome and invite you to join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Halls following the worship service. Reed Hall is through the doors to your right, my left, this way. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. They will be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the Narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary. And you can look for them by looking for their blue name tags. In the pew rats in front of you, you'll find a gray card. We invite you to record any prayer requests you might have on that card. And please indicate whether it's something we can share or you'd like it to be kept confidential. And you can put those prayer request cards in the offering plate when it's passed in a few moments. Also, if you've not yet taken the time to record your attendance, we invite you to take the attendance pad that you'll find at the end of each row and pass it down. Share with us that you're here, and also note anyone who's sitting with you, and especially make an effort to greet those you may not know following the worship service. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you are good to all. Help us to trust your word and accept your invitation to find rest in you. We pray for your church in all of its forms, that we may learn how to follow Jesus by giving rest to the weary in lives of service that are gentle and humble of heart. We pray for the earth and all you have created in love, that all things may come back into the ecological balance that you first intended, and all your work shall give thanks to you. We pray for all your people, their nations and leaders, that when the burdens of war, poverty, and hunger are too much to bear, we may do our part to offer rest and peace. We pray for all those who suffer violence in the streets and in their homes, that they might find safety and healing. We pray for those who are sick, those suffering mental illness, and those who struggle with moral dilemmas. Uphold them and give them peace. Gracious and merciful God, creator of heaven and earth, we join our voices with all that you have made in blessing you and giving thanks to you, who, with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, show compassion and goodness to all. Hear our prayer, O God, as we now pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I now invite Natalie Ferguson to come. She's with Project Transformation, and she's going to share with us about what's going on this year. Natalie's the intern that our grant sponsors. So, Natalie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Natalie Ferguson, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. I am currently attending school at Indiana University, and I'll be a junior in the fall. I'm studying social work and sociology, so this has been an awesome summer, correlating with my major and then getting to meet the amazing children at, I'm at Ebenezer at 61st, and then also amazing communities and churches like you all. So thank you for supporting our mission and for supporting me. I got involved with Project Transformation through my best friend's older sister. She was involved with it, talked to me a little bit about it. But what our mission is revolved around is three things: helping college-age students with purposeful leadership and ministry, and then connecting them with underserved communities and churches, and then also underserved children. And currently this summer, we are serving over 900 children throughout Tennessee. We're at 9 different sites, and we have 75 different college interns. So many people are being affected by this program and being helped, and it's been a beautiful thing for me to be able to see that and see the growth within the children and within myself. I'm just here really to say thank you to all of you guys. Without your financial support and volunteer commitment, we could not be able to run our program. And I also wanted to invite you all to come volunteer. West Ends Week at Ebenezer is July 17th through the 20th. And then I'm the reading volunteer coordinator at that site. So I would be working with you guys. You'd be paired up with a child and reading with them for around 30 minutes, and there's 3 rotations of that. But it's the kids' favorite part of the day. They love meeting all of you and just having that one-on-one time. And it's really beautiful to see the relationships that start to form between the volunteers and the kids. So I would encourage you all to come out and volunteer, read with the kids. Once again, thank you for having me, and thank you for supporting us.
Thank you, Natalie. And if you would like to meet Natalie, she'll be in Reed Hall on the worship service. And especially, you can greet her. And also, if you have any questions about the program, please note this. I hope you'll take this home. And every one of you who can will look at signing up and helping us read. That starts a week from Monday. And I know they especially need some readers toward the end of the week. Sisters and brothers, God is faithful and gracious to us, upholds us, and raises us up. Let us show our thanksgiving by giving generously.
Thank you.
may we go from this place as those who have taken upon us the yoke of Christ, a yoke of freedom, a yoke of love, a yoke that allows us to live life in a different way. And may we bear that life and that light out into the world to those who are bearing heavy burdens and need that love and light. Go in his peace.